Welcome back, Survivor fans, to Season 24, Episode 11 of Survivor One World, your favorite show for hot ladies in oil. Aw, yeah. This is Tribal Council, your recap podcast where we talk strategy, smack, and apparently lots of other things. Yeah. I'm Ralph, that's Chris.
I was hoping we might be able to get Howard Stern on for this this podcast. This seems like this is in his wheelhouse.
Man, this was a gift from the Survivor gods.
It was ridiculous, is what it was.
It was fortunate that the producers, you know, had only women left, really.
Something else, man. That was something else.
Something else. I don't know why the oil caught in Tarzan's body here, but everything else is working for me.
Fair enough.
All right, so plenty to talk about tonight. You know, we have cracks in the alliances coming out. We have a master scrambler doing his best.
Yep.
And like I said, an oily, delicious challenge.
Right.
Chris, I know you're spoken for, so I will spare you the need to have to talk about it. I will certainly say enough for the both of us.
Yeah, that's. I'm gonna let you do that, do your thing, and I'm just gonna
just start.
I'm just gonna check out for a little while and
uncomfortably nod and
maintain my deniability here.
Hi, Stacey. How's it going? All right. So the episode opens, oddly enough, on Tarzan talking about we. And if you've been watching this show. His we has been whatever Kim's we is.
Well, actually,
and suddenly, yeah, his we is the guy we.
It's. I mean, it was ridiculous. My favorite was that he just said, you know, I believe he opened with it. If I were trying to put the odds in my favor, that's a big if. If he's trying to put the odds in his favor, that's a pretty big leap for me to take there in the hypothesis portion of that statement. Because thus far, I would say he has not really been doing much to try to put the odds in his favor.
You know, if his goal was to try to make the women think that he didn't, you know, that he was trying to gain their favor, then up to this point, I feel like he's done a great job. I mean, ultimately, we both knew that they would have no use for him.
Yeah.
But
I'm baffled by it. I mean, I don't know what it is he thinks he's doing here. You know, oh, if I vote with them, then it doesn't look like I'm against them or anything like that. Like, I got news for you, buddy. They could not care less whether you are against them or not. They do not need you. There are six of them, and there is one of you now.
Right.
And at best, there were two a minute ago.
I have to think, though, that the end game-wise, he's an attractive option. You know?
What, just as, like, the batty old man that, like,
yeah,
you
that
know,
couldn't
nobody
possibly
even has
gain
an opinion
favor
about?
With on the jury, you know, because who exactly did he work with? He didn't work with anyone. He's just kind of there, you know?
Yeah, this is the part of Survivor that we hate, I mean, I guess, because, you know, because well, yeah, these sorts of people then end up making the final because...
Chris, if you were in the game, you wouldn't mind having this guy still around. You really wouldn't.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I would go that route. I don't think I'd be able to bring myself to do it.
You've spoken about being honorable at the end and bringing people who deserve to be there and hoping that would get you respect from the jury, and I understand that. But as of now, with seven people remaining,
yeah,
you got to be pretty happy about having him be there. And I'm sure even to the final five, you wouldn't mind him being around.
That's the thing is if you bring him there... You give your... It's a really bad move, I think, if any of those six women bring him to the final two or three, because you've got six women who all believe they're in a... You know, whichever woman you are, you've got five other women who all believe they're in an alliance with you. You bring him, you give them an out when it comes time for jury voting. You know, the whatever other four or possibly five women you put on the jury, you give them someone to give their vote to that they don't feel like, you know, did anything wrong to them. You know, if you vote him off and then it's three women, then the other three women who are on the jury they're at least forced to choose between three different women, all of whom they believed they had an alliance with.
Traditionally, though, when we've gotten down to this final four and you're going to eliminate one, I mean, hasn't it come down to 3-1 on these votes? Like, the other three kind of mutually agree, like, we're all going to go together, and that's it.
Well,
it's
yeah,
not
no,
often
but
gone down to 2-2, you know?
Well, no, but I'm talking about in general, you know, people, you know, at this point with six people left, like every, you know, the only way you can justify Tarzan showing up at the final three is if he wins out in immunities.
Let me throw a scenario at you. Okay, mm-hmm. We're at the final four, and it's Kim, Chelsea, Sabrina, and Tarzan.
Okay.
Right. So Sabrina and Chelsea look at each other and say, how can we possibly talk the jury into voting us instead of Kim?
Okay.
So they decide, get together with Tarzan, and say, we're voting out Kim tonight. And then when you get to the jury, the two girls can say, we made this decision together. Now you're going to choose one of us, or you're going to choose Tarzan.
Okay. So in theory, Kim then is the only, based on your approach here, you're making it sound like Kim is the only one you have to sweat that vote with. But the problem is the other two, or the other three women who went out before Tarzan there. Because I got to be honest, I don't see Tarzan walking away with an immunity challenge.
No.
Anytime soon. So
no.
That's not the only time you chose Tarzan over one of the women. So you're gonna have that with three other women plus Kim in that scenario.
Yeah, fair enough. But what if? Oh, okay, we get what if to death.
Yeah. That's what this podcast is pretty much predicated on.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, I was going to say something. You know, Tarzan did finish second in that one challenge that Tarzan won. You know, where they were like...
I'm sorry, what?
Last week. Sorry, the one that Troyzan won.
Okay.
Last week, it was Tarzan and Troyzan in the final two for that immunity challenge.
That's true.
And Tarzan wasn't that far from winning it. So, I mean, you know, we're underestimating him a little. Not a lot,
I guess.
Just a little.
Yeah. Stranger things have happened, I guess.
Stranger things have happened, for sure. Like a whole tribe deciding, you know what, let the other tribe stay, we'll go to tribal council.
Right. Yeah, stranger things have happened within the most recent dozen episodes.
Talk about your ripple effects. I mean, we're at a totally different game because of that decision.
I know.
You know?
That's true. They don't do that, and they go into the merge minimum 7-5 up, possibly more, you know, if with the Colton thing, and I mean...
Yeah. To connect it back to the beginning of this episode, you know, Tarzan says, well, better to do what the women want than to stick my own neck out. And that's been the theme of the season, like people just refusing to stick their neck out,
right,
and make the play that may be smarter in favor of one that's in temporary self-preservation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bunch of people playing the short game and not many, and like two people playing long game. And so guess who wins? The two people playing the long game.
Yeah, they'll be there. They'll be around.
Yep.
All right, so we get some mail. What did Troy say? He said something about, like, we're going to get a reward. I tried to play it back once, and it was as if he was trying to say, hey, we might get a reward. Well, yeah, it's a reward challenge.
I don't know. I didn't even notice
you
that.
You didn't catch it? Okay, I don't know. He said something really funny when Tree Mail showed up. That's all right. So get this. They're going to go to a faraway island, Chris, when they win.
They're going
away to an island.
There's nothing like a vacation to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control.
Nice.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. So they're playing a little bit of groupthink, and they have to play the meta game of, I know what I put, but what did the group put?
Well, and before that, you missed. See, based, and this, I thought you would be all over this. Although I guess it did come to fruition, but well, I guess it sort of did. You know, we had that little conversation between Kim and Kat that we saw before they go to the reward challenge about who's taking who if one of us wins the reward. Stacy's prediction was that that Kat was going to win the reward and then screw up this plan that they had come up with of, we cannot leave Tarzan, Alicia, and Christina all on the beach together. Which
she was going to take, would have been too Chelsea sweet. Along.
Yeah, it would have been too sweet if Kat had won and just botched that whole thing after watching that plan. I very much enjoyed Stacey's prediction. I was disappointed it did not come true.
It is unfortunate that didn't happen. Yeah. You have to wonder though too if Kim made promises to Chelsea, but CBS didn't show that in the interest of drumming up the drama of this occasion.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So go ahead. We're doing what we're predicting what other people have said for each question.
It's kind of a twisted newlywed game.
Yes, exactly. It is. It's a newly tribed game.
Yes. So it was like senior superlatives, like least deserving to be there, most trustworthy with your life, mm-hmm. and there's this
who was the one that they most trusted with their life?
Kim.
Was it Kim?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it reflects on her honorability.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course the winner of all the best one was who among us the most needs a wake up call.
And, of course.
And the one person who got it wrong was the one person who needed the wake up call.
It wouldn't have applied if she.
It was just
call.
So fitting in so many ways. There.
Yeah. Sometimes the poeticness of Survivor takes care of itself. I guess I should have used the word poetry.
Yes.
Poetry, yeah. I know. I realized, like, why am I using this word? Like, I could use poetry and be the same.
I'm going to noun the adjective of the noun. Or nounify the adjectified version of the noun.
I don't understand, for a guy with as much numbers background as you are, you certainly enjoy wordplay.
It's the semantics of it. Because here's the thing. I love telling this to my students in any class I teach. Everybody thinks that mathematicians are all about numbers. It's not at all true. It's not at all true. And I always ask my students, what do you think math is the study of? And invariably, the first answer is numbers.
Numbers.
It's the study of numbers. Not at all. Math is simply the study of patterns. And numbers are the things we use to represent those patterns. And so wordplay and stuff like that is also just about patterns and the things that we do to turn nouns into adjectives, adjectives back into nouns with your ness that you threw on the end there and the TIC that you throw on the end of poetry to make it poetic and that sort of stuff. It's all patterns, just like grammar and other stuff like that. It's all very systematic, and that's what mathematicians are all about, is understanding how a system works.
It's just a lifelong love of rules.
In some sense, yeah. Or not necessarily rules. You call it rules, I call it patterns. I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Or better yet, figuring out the rule. You know, that's really what mathematicians are about.
Yeah. So what did you make of the choices to leave? Like, basically, Kim only got one shot, and it wasn't towards, like, till at least two-thirds of the way through the game. You know?
Oh, you know, I didn't really pay close attention to how they were doing that. You know,
I figured
the most liked get chopped last, basically. Although I was surprised that Alicia didn't get.
I took it as fear. You know, the girls definitely know who's calling the shots.
Oh, you think they were not axing Kim because they didn't want to get on her bad side?
Right. The girls who are friends with Kim wouldn't chop her because they think they might get picked with her. And the girls who aren't friends with Kim don't want to chop her out of fear that they'll be next.
Okay. I can certainly see that. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So I think there was definitely a subtext there where that was definitely the case.
No, yeah, that's perceptive.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's almost like I pay attention to the show.
Yeah.
I've been accused of being unfocused.
From time to time, yeah.
All right, and Troy, I love him. He goes for the dagger. He's like, yeah, there they are, Jeff. Top three, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's what he needed to do, and I loved him for it.
Yeah, my immediate thought there was, at first I said, Troy, you're playing on level one. And then I realized, no, Troy is not playing on level one. He is playing on level three.
Yeah.
And that was a great move on his part. He was a step ahead, and Kim, meanwhile, is not on level 3. Kim is on level 2. Because Kim commits the cardinal sin. In any situation like that, where you are trying to, where you have to choose who you're going to bring with you on reward, amongst the people who are remotely considered in your alliance, you always bring with you the volatile mental midgets. Always. Period. She should have brought Alicia and Kat.
Yeah.
Those two, like, that's auto call right there, yeah. Because the people who are not volatile, the people who are not mental midgets, can figure it out, or can at least you can talk to them afterwards and, you know, get it all set.
And that's where you have to credit Sabrina. She totally had it read. She's like, oh my god, Troy's gonna ruin this. I need to get Kat's head on straight, because it was spinning. You could see.
Yeah.
It.
Oh yeah.
You could
she
see
was,
her head.
Oh my goodness. Spinning. The downward spiral was it was insane.
It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, we've had so few moments like this season where, you know, one guy, and you know, we saw it when Colton kind of called Leaf onto the floor, but that wasn't even close. It wasn't close.
Right.
Like that was no match. You know.
Yeah.
But here, you know, Troy obviously is back. You know, cornered. You know, as much as you could be. And he just is scratching and clawing at this thing, and it is working. And it was so enjoyable.
The one thing was, and maybe this is what undid, you know, what was his undoing at in the end, is I felt like Troy was just a little too heavy-handed with it. You know, like when we heard it there, where they're sitting at camp, and she's trying to get him to stop. That's where you got to stop, because then you're grating on her, just you by yourself. And she's not going to want to align herself with you.
Yeah.
And then B, you know, you're becoming more obvious about what you're trying to do here.
You know, there's a reason they call it planting a seed and not called plowing the field, planting the seed, you know, spreading the fertilizer, watering it regularly. Yes. You plant the seed, you allow it to...
This is Inception. You have to plant the seed with the idea at its most fundamental form. You know, you can't try to plant the seed and coax it to the exact fruition you want. You have to let it grow on your own. You're not trying to plant a sequoia here. You're trying to plant just the seed.
Yeah. It was. You're right. But you know, it's hard. It's hard in the games. No, we're on day 29. Day
it's
30,
true.
You know, like, and you can see it wearing on them. You can see they're thinner.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Kat looked like death in this episode.
She looked bad. She just, and it was like
she did not look terribly dissimilar to the remains of the doll after it had been sent into the fire. There,
how great were the little skeletons? Huh?
That was something else. That was something else. I was impressed.
Yeah,
and I believe they each had their like appropriate hair on the doll. You know.
And they even had a Hawaiian shirt on Tarzan. It was great.
Did they really?
They did.
I didn't notice that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. All right. So, you know, Kim comes back from reward. She's doing her spin control and confesses that she really stepped in it.
Yeah, but wow. I mean, there were so many bad moves in this episode. The only person who I really felt like was at, like, even B-plus level game was Troy in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, Kim, oh, woe is me, you know, oh, this is my worst day out here when I won the reward and then got to pick who to come with me. Oh my goodness, stick a sock in it. Like, this girl clearly having fits about the fact that you didn't take her when you said you were going to, and you want her to feel badly for you? Like, you are playing with fire there.
She has to find a way to empower her. You know, she's got to make the read that, like, she's feeling powerless. She's feeling like she's got no hand over this game. You have to empower her, you know? And it's the kind of thing where you have to finesse it so that, like, they realize what your plan is and you just make them think it was their idea.
Right.
Same thing with Inception. Like, you make them think it's their idea.
Right.
And that's how you get them.
Yeah, the best way to go, I would say, would be, you know, later on when they end up having their conversation about we're going to do Troy, we'll throw a couple of votes to somebody after, you know, somebody else in case he plays the idol, you know, bring it to her like,
what are we going
to
do?
Who do you think we should throw an extra vote to?
Yeah,
because ultimately it really doesn't matter, and you're it's pretty obvious that she's probably going to pick Christina anyway. Although she, I guess she might pick like Chelsea or Alicia out of like spite from the reward. But ultimately, yeah, you're exactly right. You need to make a power play there by making her feel like she's empowered and she's not just the follower.
And I think a lot of good supervisors do that. That you get like your subjugate to realize the
your
same thing you want.
Subordinate?
Well, in this case, it's a subjugate, you know?
A subjugate? Like, okay, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, she has got Kat subjugated.
Okay, fair enough.
In a work situation, it would better suited be subordinate, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We come back from break, and all of a sudden there's a pig, a very adorable pig, running around camp.
Yeah.
I'm very glad they didn't kill him this episode. I hope they never do. Although
what's
I don't know how.
What's your beef with killing a pig?
He's just cute.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, was it season two? Was it Australia when one of them caught like a wild boar?
I don't recall.
I want to say it was, I can't remember the guy's name. It was the guy that nobody really liked that made it to the final three. I want to say his name was Frank. Older grayish guy. Not that old. I would say like late 40s, probably something like that. But yeah, he caught a boar. That was huge, and it was a really cool moment, you know, because we're only in season two of this show, and so you haven't seen a lot of that sort of stuff happen. I was rooting for him. I thought it would be interesting.
Rooting for who? The pig?
I was rooting for them. And Stacey made a great point. She's like, I'd love to see what they do with this pig afterwards, because they probably have no clue how you're supposed to butcher a pig.
Well, in the movies, you throw a pole through it and you turn it over the spit.
Right, yeah. You jam a pole up its butt and
yeah. Let it come out the mouth.
Start spinning it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so they cut to the image. I was like, what about the pig? And he's mysteriously there after the challenge. So
yeah, that was pretty great. We did
who
just
knows?
Sitting there. It looked like a dog just waiting for its owner to come home.
That's why I'm rooting for him. Now he looks like a companion. I mean,
he does.
How can they eat him now?
He does.
Although I can't tell someone who's been on a desert island for 30 days not to eat this pig. I understand if they do it. I prefer if they didn't.
Fair enough.
And what I was hoping for, Chris, is that they had actually caught him, dispatched him. But CBS had the decency not to show us that. I was hoping for that.
I would imagine the most we would see was like a little bit of the filleting or whatever, and then and a little bit of the cooking, and then you know all of the the satiating noises. And, oh, so good. Oh, you know. That sort of stuff when it's the first meat you've had in weeks
maybe,
or whatever.
Maybe they can summon Jonas to do a little
right.
Hibachi.
Right.
Well, there was this immunity challenge. I don't know. It was just all right.
the fact that they had just a giant, maybe not giant, but like a bucket of oil just
tubs
waiting for them to...
Of oil.
To use to like... Come on. That was just ridiculous.
And all of these girls
slathering
themselves in oil.
Good lord.
And it got better. Like, it only got better as the challenge went along. First Chelsea and Alicia are oiling up, and then, like, Chelsea wins, and Alicia does this really, like, awkward, like, oily girl dance with her. I don't know. I may have played it back multiple times. And then they all get giddy when Troy goes out, and now it's a good old time. Now, like,
yep.
It's just, let's just frolic in the oil.
I loved that Troy refused to watch.
I think it's great. You know, you and I appreciate people who play the game super hard. You know,
yep.
Like it just, it means $1 million to them, mm-hmm. and more than that. You know,
yeah.
like they take it, they take everything just... They're up and down, and we want to see that ride.
And it was so smart because I think, he talked about it in the confessional afterwards, and, you know, you, if you sit there and watch, you just keep bumming yourself out further and further. Man, come on, I could do this. This is ridiculous. I should be able to win this sort of a challenge. And you just keep bumming yourself out, and you go, you, the downward spiral starts. And instead, he turns away, and he just gets his focus. And I thought it was great. I mean, you know, ultimately it didn't play out, pan out for him or whatever, but I thought it was really smart of him, and I like, you know, I like the determination on his part there.
Yeah, we admire that, and hopefully, you know, in future seasons, if there's an All-Stars or something, you know, certainly he would have to play on a good guy team if we're going to do another Heroes Villains, you know?
I would think, yeah.
He's a good dude. He's
was it in this challenge, or was it in, or was it the reward challenge where when he was eliminated, I think it was Alicia, you know, started yelling, "My Island."
It was...
I think it was the reward challenge.
The
actually.
Reward challenge.
that was good. I appreciated that.
And it led, yes, I appreciate that. And it led to the awkward Tarzan observation. And Jeff was like, "Yeah, I was just about to say that." And it was right. Such like a.
Yeah, what was that? Something about the molecules and the.
The molecular substrate of the island. And Jeff was like, "Oh yeah."
I was just about to say that.
Tip of my tongue.
Right.
He's such, like, ugh. He just knows.
He's playing a different game. he's just, like, there's just another game that he thinks is going on, and it's got completely different rules, a completely different set of guidelines by which the winner is determined, and that's the game he's playing. You know, it's like, it's called, like, appeasement and, you know, intelligence quotient or something, you know, like... You know, appeasement, coyness, and intelligence quotient. That's the game he's playing.
He's like a nerd in a grizzly old man's body. You know, like he's so like just what's not intellectual. What's the word I'm looking for? Like cerebral. He's so cerebral, and there's very little. He's like every physics professor I've ever met. You know, it's all just rolling around up there, and none of it
I feel badly that you're lumping physics professors in with him there.
I worked for the physics department when I was in school, so I know I met many of them, and they're just a different planet.
Did you really? What did you do there?
I had to, like, you know, they're doing research, and like, there's all these articles that they were citing, and I had to like write the. The annotations and stuff like that. Not the fact checker. It was more of like an organizational, like, sort things out. Like, here are the papers I cited. Like, can you just, you know, put them in proper, whatever, CPA.
MLA or whatever.
MLA, whatever. Yeah, again, this is many years ago. But, like, yeah. So I worked on the fourth floor, and it was, like, the one where, like, you needed a key to get up there because they had moon rocks, and it was great.
Pro?
Yeah. Compton.
Oh, okay.
And, like, because it was, like, limited access, they had their dogs up there. There was, like, these two...
I remember there being dogs.
There was these two Newfoundlands that were up on the top floor, and they just would lay out in the hall. And they were...
What are Newfoundlands? What do they look like?
The Newfoundland is, like, a St. Bernard, but bigger.
What?
I
didn't know that was possible. I mean,
yeah, no, it's majestic. It really is.
The only thing I can think of is like Great Danes, except they're not
they're not
tall. They're not nearly big.
No, these are like big St. Bernards.
Good lord.
Yeah. You can look that up after the pod.
I will do. Will do.
All right. You know, I made notes about Jeff, black shirt during the.
Indeed. Yeah, we said more black shirt. It's.
I didn't know if it was navy or black. Is this a tradition now?
That's true. I guess it could be navy if he wants to stick with his blue. I think it's black though, because his hat definitely looks black. So yeah. I'm guessing he's going black on black there.
Yeah, but is that just the immunity challenge thing now? Or
I guess I don't know. Maybe we have I don't know.
We have bigger fish to fry.
Maybe he's starting his own like clothing line, and you know, they wanted to be able to sell more than one item to potential male customers. So they were like, well, we better come up at least with another color of the same shirt. that way we have the potential of actually selling two things to the same person.
I think people would be able to tell if you palette swap just a black and blue shirt with, you know, 50 pockets on the front. Anyways, so Troy concocts a plan back at camp in the pre-tribal scramble. He says, well, if I can just figure out where the split's going and get a couple more my way. And, you know, normally that would be hard. Normally it would be challenging to figure out where the enemy is going.
Yeah. Except so, that everybody's got their D game out today.
You're dealing with a different kind of enemy this time, and one that... And when Sabrina was talking to Christina, I was like, she's going to say Christina. Because she paused, and I'm like, oh my God, why did you pause? And she just says Christina because she knows she tried to come up with another name, she would have said something wrong.
This is exactly what we've talked about. Like, when you're talking, like, just have the name, like, prepare yourself for these conversations. Like, what... It just amazes me that people go into these conversations and they can't think to say somebody other than the person who it is that you're actually going to be voting for. Like, this
and
is
yet,
like
somehow...
this isn't even level 1 deception. This is like levels like 0.1 deception.
Christina is so bad that she can't even take that and turn it around and make them like pay for it. Like, she
not only that, she goes to talk to all of the people who supposedly are going to be doing this, and tells them that she knows this, and then just sort of waffles about it, like, oh, okay, I guess I don't mind. Like,
I mean, I don't even know what to say because it's so inexplicit. Like, this makes almost as little sense as sending the other tribe home and going to tribal council yourself. It's just because, like, you don't understand how it could be so much more plainer that, like, you know, you are the next
Ralph,
one.
Ralph, I gotta bust you. More plainer? Come on.
I'm sorry. What's the word? I'm really stuck tonight. My brain's fried.
Quite the wordsmith over there.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Let me gather myself for a minute. My incredulity. That's the word.
Ooh,
I'm looking for.
All right.
My incredulity is so exponential that I cannot figure out how Christina could possibly, A, sit there and be like, yeah, that makes sense, then go around, confirm the plan, say, yeah, that makes sense, then go tell the guy who could help you the most and be like, well, no, I'm just going to throw a vote at Chelsea when...
That's just amazing. I've never seen just... such a sequence of foolish play after foolish play.
I don't know what happens at the Vanby household as these episodes play out, but I literally pause and sit there and laugh.
No, wait, do you mean literally or do you mean figuratively?
No, I press the pause button.
Okay, so you mean the actual definition of literally, not the new definition of literally, which is figuratively.
Yeah, or the new definition of ironic, which is coincidental.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I actually stop it, pause it, laugh at myself, scratch my head, think about how it's humanly possible.
Right.
Before I can press play again.
Did you have that moment when the special ed teacher talked about not actually knowing whether or not like you could have a zero IQ? Like, you're a special ed teacher. And this is what Stacy was like going nuts on the couch. Like, how is it possible that you don't know this? Like, this is precisely what the thing you should know about. this is like taking your car to the mechanic to fix a flat, and the guy's like, I'm not so good with changing tires. You know, like, changing tires, that's like everybody knows changing tires.
Well, we've said it before. She's certainly not a model for
good
education,
Lord.
You know. But you know, you know,
she's a winner.
She is one of life's winners, and yeah. So, and I kind of cringed at that point where she was talking about Christina as her special ed student, just because, you know, it's such like a
What special ed teacher like does that? What special ed teacher talks about other people in a condescending way, referring to them as special ed students? It's just
And how can you, like, look into your kids in the face and be like, I respect you as a person, you know, even though you've been labeled special ed? Like, at this point, no, because you're clearly showing that you don't regard people who have special needs as being worthy of your respect. And that is the most cringeworthy thing.
Yeah.
It was painful. But no, I didn't have that moment where I paused it with her. Just because, like, again, I'm so, like... Like, yeah. you anticipate the worst from her, and then she lives up to it, unfortunately.
You're callous to it at this point.
Yeah,
you're just so used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. The other stuff we have to cover before we get to Tribal. I think CBS tried to show us the best of what Christina had to say, and it was still really bad. Like, when her and Troy were sitting in the ocean, and she was trying to explain what made sense and what didn't make sense and how it was going to work, then you're like, you don't have any idea what you're talking about, do you?
Yeah. No, yeah, the thing I wrote down when I saw it was just, wow, Christina's so bad at this game, she really does not deserve to be here. Like, they got it right in that poll. She does not deserve to be there. She is one of the ones, somehow she found a way to make Tarzan not the person who least deserves to be there.
Right, and she is so out of this thing, and I did not see that coming, but, you know, in one of those Jeff interviews on EW.com, he mentioned that the one player he didn't think could win was Christina because no one respects her. And we didn't see as much as we did then, but he was kind of teasing us that, like, it's going to become very clear that this girl has no shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
No shot.
My favorite is when Alicia accuses her of not playing strategically, and Christina says, "I strategize. I just don't talk to anybody about it." I mean, I fully recognize that there's a degree to which you strategize just with yourself to figure out what you're going to do, and you don't expose that plan to anybody. But if you don't ever talk strategy with anybody,
you're not strategizing.
You're not playing strategically, like. Because step two of playing strategically is go strategize with other people, regardless of whether or not it's actually the strategy you plan on employing. Like, you have to, at the very least, be making it look like you're strategizing with them for their sake, so that they feel like there's a reason to keep you around, you know? Like,
or that you have some, like, advantage to being working with you for some reason.
Right.
Like,
yes, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
If you're not creating strategy with anybody else, you are the odd person out.
All right. On to Tribal?
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a lot of notes for this. I think it was a lot of the generic and vague answers that we've been hearing. I'm guessing what we have is a group of people who either A, don't have their heads completely in the game, or B, they have their heads in the game and they know exactly what not to say.
Yeah. I thought for a second that Jeff may have actually swung the vote when he asked Kat about Kim making her choices after the reward challenge. And, you know, maybe not. Maybe I'm just letting CBS's editing of the episode play me. But it seemed like, you know, like, there was actually still a question there when she was asked that question, you know, that depending on how the conversation went in those next 5 minutes, you know, based on whatever Troy said, if he interjected in just the right way or whatever, or maybe just by keeping his mouth shut and hoping that Kim does something to hang herself, you know, that Kat might actually flip right there and be like, you know what, I'm going to vote on my own. I'm sick of people thinking that I'm a follower. And, you know, she said it earlier in the episode, you know, they don't think I'm running the show, and they think she's running the show. Got news for you, Kat. They don't just think you're not running the show. They know you're not running the show because you aren't running the show.
Yeah.
And they know Kim's running the show because Kim is running the show.
Right, and you know, you
it's not like they're misinformed.
You saw her say, "I'll vote out Kim if it needs to be," but you know, it's certainly not that simple. You have to.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that needed to be a part of it. You know, Troy was working on her, so certainly she knew if she wanted to make a play for herself, if she wanted to make a decision on her own to say, "I'm running my game," then she was going to switch to vote for Christina. I mean. And, you know, she could do something like that where it doesn't really burn a bridge, you know? I mean, it might make them question you a bit, but, you know, Not that I would be confident in Kat's ability to pull it off, but you know, she certainly has built the reputation of not being the sharpest tool in the shed. So she could. It wouldn't be a tough sell to say, "Oh, I thought I was one of the ones that was supposed to vote for Christina."
Yeah, but that requires her to play on the third, well, fourth
exactly,
levels.
Exactly. Yes, but
we're,
you know,
we're trying to get it.
But Troy might be able to help her pull that off.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you know, honestly, when I saw Chelsea's name on the first vote, I was like, "Well, sorry, Troy."
Why?
I knew he needed all the rest of those votes to go Christina to have a chance. And as soon as one of them wasn't Christina and not him, then I don't think he had a chance. I think any third party votes
about
there.
The Chelsea vote was Christina's.
I know.
But it's
not,
oh, like
I guess he couldn't have gotten
gonna...
me out. That's true. That's true. What am I thinking?
That was actually one of the important parts of this plan, because there's eight of them left. And so he kept talking about only needing to get four, but he actually did only need to get four because with Christina just, you know, playing her strategy.
So he just needed Kat to actually flip.
Exactly. If Kat flips, he gets it.
Yeah, because he had actually Tarzan.
Because of the fact that Christina is playing this dumb game of, like, doesn't know what's going on.
Sabrina split her vote to Christina. And
right. Sabrina and Tarzan were the intended splitters.
Okay. Okay. See, that's what I didn't know. I didn't know which votes were supposed to go her way and which ones weren't.
And then Tarzan went with Christina, and so he just needed Kat to flip, and then it would be 4-3-1. That was the great thing, is that he had even, like, he was wise enough to sort of just let Christina be, and like, hey, if she's not voting for me, that's one, you know, that means now I've only got to get to four voting for Christina.
Yeah, I
and I thought it might happen. I really did. I had this. I was in the moment and full of suspense as they read that last vote. Maybe I just have such a hankering for, like, good tribal councils that I wanted to believe that it was going to happen. But
yeah, and I guess that's ultimately what it is. Like, we want to see that true blind side come out, and we haven't had the chance to see that yet.
Russell spoiled us, you know? I mean,
yeah, no joke. And the proper, you know, just how Hidden Immunity Idols would get dropped and things changing course, and we're just not seeing that.
Yeah.
The split vote thing has, you know, as long as you're running that much of the tribe, you know, all you gotta do is keep splitting those votes and you don't even have to worry about any of that stuff.
We're in episode 11. I think we've seen split votes like six times.
Yeah. And we haven't voted twice, so, you know, you're talking about probably two-thirds of the vote had split votes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way he left, though, you know, stirring the pot, you know, going to Kat and just being like,
do it.
Be your own person. Yeah, exactly. Do it. That was what he said, right?
Yeah.
You know, telling her to be your own person. That's just great. And then, of course, then taking the title away from whoever it was of poser. Or was he the poser?
No, Christina was the poser. Christina, yeah.
And that look back was some. I don't know what the heck that was, but it felt like a posing moment. That's for sure.
Well, he put up the two. They put up like the Richard Nixon fingers too. Like,
oh, as he was out on the bridge, right? That's true.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, things went out with a whimper. I don't know. I
way to put a punctuation mark on the end of
it. I wasn't hanging on the last vote like you were. No, this is certainly not my best farewell, nor anything similar to it. But, you know, we've closed this chapter.
Indeed.
All right. So, should we keep reviewing our online presence? Like, you questioned that before.
We're on Twitter. The handle is Tribal Podcast. Actually, we got two new signups or two new follow signups. We got two new followers on Twitter this week. Although they look to be of the spam variety, you know, where they follow about 18,000 people and they are followed by about six. Although they are both still with us, so if you are legitimate listeners, Leah Davidov and Name Zane, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. And I apologize for calling you Twitter spammers. Anyway, Tribal Podcast is the handle on Twitter. Podcast@tc.vanb.net is the email address, and you can find us on the web at tc.vanb.net.
All right, thanks a bunch. And once again, listeners, we thank you for your loyalty, and hopefully we will catch you next week for the final seven. See you then.